stay tuned and be encouraged to press in by Pastor Paul.
Let's go into our Bible lesson today. All throughout this month, we've been going through the book of Mark and looking at some highlights from the book of Mark. So we looked at the leper that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 1. Then we looked at the man born by four in Mark chapter 2. Then we looked at the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. And then we looked at the woman with the issue of blood that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 5. And we touched briefly on Jairus' daughter who was dead and was raised back to life. And then today we'll go a step further. And I thank God we had 5 weekends in March, so we get an extra one. All right. Let's go to, and we thank God for all the doors that he's opening. Continue to pray over the TV broadcast and all the various outreaches as we launch the TV broadcast this week, that God will use it as a tool to bring many into the kingdom of God. Just a tool to reach out to the city. But like I said last week, the prayer is the wheel that keeps the whole thing going. So pray. Let's all pray into that, that God will use that mightily to make a difference. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. Whatever available means that we have to send out the word of God, we must use it. We're doing all that. So we thank God. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The blind man, we call him the blind Bartimaeus. It says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, you see, it takes the grace of God for all of us to be here this morning. How many of us realize that without the grace of God, we wouldn't be here? We are here by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we are here. We cannot make it without the grace of God. And the reason why we keep testifying and telling others about Jesus is so that they can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And before people come to Jesus, their lives may be one way. When we come to Jesus, he transforms our lives and brings us into God's very best. But the thing is, we run into difficulties when we live a self-centered life. When we live a life where we are just thinking about ourselves, but also to experience the grace of God in our lives on a day-to-day basis, we need the mercy of God. So let us walk through how this blind person got to a point where he received his sight, where he received wholeness in his life. Now, he says, in verse 46, now they came to Jericho. Let me give you a little background about Jericho. Remember Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua and the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. And God has said, go and take Jericho. And the way that you are going to take it is not going to be through your arms or through the weapons of war. You are going to have to use the strategy that I'm giving you to be able to take the city. Now, they took the city, but after they took the city, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, thank you, Lord Jesus. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, notice what Joshua said about Jericho. He said, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. He put a curse on Jericho. And that those words that he spoke, several thousands of years later, those words were fulfilled. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. Thank you, Lord. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, in his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Zegub, that set up He set up its gate according to the word of the Lord, which he has spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, we can spend a very long time here. It shows the power of words, the power of God's word. When he spoke those words, even though he had died, those words came to pass in the process of time. He said, whoever attempts to rebuild this city, he will do it at the expense of his firstborn son. And that came to pass. So I just wanted to give you a background about Jericho. This is the same city that Jesus is going out of in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is where blind Bartimaeus is sitting. Oh, Jericho started in the life of the children of Israel with God bringing down the walls. Now this blind man is sitting there and he is faced with a certain difficulty. He is faced with a certain obstacle. He is faced with something else that is different from a wall that cannot be brought down. He is faced with blindness and he's sitting on the outskirts of Jericho. And so many times in our lives, we run into circumstances. We run into situations. We run into things in our lives. Not only are we seated in a particular place, but the circumstances of our lives contradict with what God's word says. He is sitting at Jericho. And one day, his story is similar to others that we have looked at from the standpoint that this person has been blind from birth. And so, let's go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 47. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, when he heard, remember what we talked about, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What you hear about Jesus makes all the difference. He heard that Jesus was passing by. He was sitting by the roadside. Not only is he blind, but he's begging. He's at his lowest point in his life. Sitting there, blind and begging. And one of those days, he heard that Jesus was passing by. Jesus, what you hear about Jesus makes all the difference. Hebrews chapter 13, he talks about the fact that, chapter 13, verse 8, he talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And when Jesus was on the earth, one of the main things that he came to do, to look at me with Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. He says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. You can break down the ministry of Jesus into three main categories: teaching, preaching, and healing. The teaching and the preaching made way for the healing of the people. One third of his ministry was teaching. One third of his ministry was preaching. Another third was healing. So this blind person hears about Jesus. And when he heard about Jesus, he said, today is my day. You see, if you read the account very carefully, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to eventually be killed, and his ministry was going to end. So if potentially, if blind Bartimaeus hadn't cried out, there is no account that Jesus came back through Jericho again. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Mark chapter 10, you see him right there. Chapter 11, you see him getting into the temple and taking care of business in the temple. And then later on, he gets crucified. So he recognizes, you see, from a spiritual standpoint, there are moments where you have to recognize the season and the time that you are in. You cannot let those seasons and those moments and those times pass you by. He recognized that. Jesus is passing by this way. I will not get this opportunity again. I am going to take advantage of this moment. I am going to take advantage and seize this opportunity. I'm not going to let him pass me by. And this morning, as you sit under the influence of God's word, I pray that you will be sensitive from a spiritual standpoint to receive all that God has for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you not leave this place the same way. May you, after hearing or watching this, not remain the same. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He's called, you see, the thing that we want to realize, number one, he was physically blind. He was disabled from a natural standpoint. And sometimes people suffer disabilities from birth, or the disabilities can come later on. But no matter the area of your life that is physically disabled, you was physically blind, Jesus can touch you and transform your life. Believe that. Believe that. There was one great man of God in this country. He was born, and when he was born, he was a stammerer. And every time he went to school, he was so disabled that he couldn't even pronounce his name. And they kept laughing at him in school. And one time, he was trying to, he got so discouraged about his disability. But the mother kept telling him, don't be discouraged. My son, God has called you to preach, and he will heal you of your stammering tongue. So he went through life with that. At the age of 17, his parents were preachers. At his age of 17, he rebelled and left the house and wanted to do his own thing. And he was in a basketball game, and he fell down and started coughing blood. And when they took him home, they discovered that he had tuberculosis. And in the 30s and 40s, if you had tuberculosis, it was incurable. And so he began, his family began to pray and knelt by his bedside and cried out to God and said, Lord, even if my child is going to die, I cannot bear seeing him go to hell as an unsaved person. I'm going to kneel down on my knees and pray to God, you save my son. And he began to cry out to God. And as he was praying, this person discovered that the face of his father disappeared. And he saw the face of Jesus. And at that point, he began to cry out, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me. And God told him, I've saved you, and I've called you to preach and to take my healing power to your generation. And he fulfilled that, taking the healing power of God to this nation and the nations of the world. God healed him of his stuttering tongue, and he made a preacher out of him. But he said, I've come. I'm fully convinced that the power of prayer can heal our sickness. The healing prayer ministry is the greatest method used by God to heal our sickness. I expect miracles. You can be healthy. You can succeed. You can do that now. He said, I clung to this verse, and you should do the same as well. 3 John, it's only one chapter. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Thank you, Lord. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Believe that. That is God's best. That is God's highest for your life. I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. In every area of your life, God wants you to experience his very best. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number two, blind Bartimaeus. So blind Bartimaeus cried out to God. Number two area that we can look at talking about blindness is the blindness of the heart. Or an emotional isolation. Where people get to a state where emotionally, being blind physically is one thing. Being blind and having hurts and disappointment and resentment and anger and all these things in your heart can block you from God's very best. There was a certain man in John chapter 5. He had sat at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And what happened was every time at a certain season, an angel would come and stir up the water, and whoever first stepped in was made whole. And Jesus comes to him one day and asked him a question. Do you want to be made well? That's the question that Jesus is asking you this morning as well. He says something similar to blind Bartimaeus. But notice what this person said. And this, as we find so many people in that state. John chapter 5 verse 7, the man said, the sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming up, another steps down before me. He's not only paralyzed, but he has a condition of heart that is even more serious. I have no man. I have no man. That's a statement of hopelessness. I have nobody who will help me. I have no one. Blind Bartimaeus didn't say that. This person says, I have no man. And the interesting thing is that he's standing in the presence of Jesus. Jesus asked him in the verse before, what do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? And his answer was, I don't have anybody. Think about it. The answer to what you are looking for is right there. You see, I have no man. That is, if some people start saying that, it's a sign of hopelessness. I have no man. I have nobody. Nobody will help me. Nobody will help me. Nobody will help me. I have no man. I have no man. It's like a broken record that keeps going on. Notice what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 about that. God has something to say about that. Jeremiah, thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. He says, the man who places his trust in man is cursed, whose hearts depart from the Lord. He will be like a shrub in the desert. He will experience dry seasons. And when good comes, he won't see it. He will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Looking to man is the sure way to walk in the curse. He will not see it when good comes. When good will come, and because he has his eyes so much on man, he will experience the dry places. Cursed is that person. He will inhabit parched places in the wilderness. His heart departs from the Lord. That's an area all of us have to watch. Where is our heart? But this morning, I see a company of people in that second category. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, as you place your confidence in God, as you place your trust in God, I see you being fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. As you place your trust in the Lord, may you know no dry season in Jesus' mighty name. He will not be, a person will not be anxious in the year of drought. Everything may be drying up around you, but as you place your trust in the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, may you experience fruitfulness in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Put your trust and your confidence in God. It makes all the difference in the world. When your trust is in God and your hope is the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, nobody will have that victim mentality. Nobody has helped me. But instead, your confidence and your trust will be in the Lord. Thank you, Father. So let's go back to our good friend here, blind Bartimaeus. He's been so blind, that is how his name is even described. That is how he's described in the Bible, blind. But he didn't remain blind. Now, when he heard Jesus was passing by, verse 47, Mark 10, 47, he says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out. And when he cried out, the people said to him, today is not the day for a beggar to cause commotion. That's me putting it in my own words now. Today is not, I mean, the Bible says they want him to be quiet. They want him to be quiet. They want him to be quiet. Remain as a blind person and remain as a beggar. Why are you trying to get deliverance today? When you start making steps towards Jesus, some people may not understand you. Why all this noise? What is about Jesus that you have seen? That you keep crying out to him daily. That you keep serving him. Oh, but thanks be to God, some of us have seen something about Jesus. He's transformed our lives. He's changed our lives. And that is why we keep shouting. That is why we keep crying out. That is why we keep serving him. Oh, he has made all the difference in our lives. They said, be quiet. Be quiet. Remain in your disability. Don't do anything about it. There was one woman, she was born with polio. And because she was disabled, she couldn't do much. And she got to a point where she began to cry out to God and say, God, why? What's the issue here? God said to him, I want to take the circumstances of your life to tell the whole world about the things that disabled people go through. So she wrote her first novel, and it won a library contest. And then she kept writing books about what people who are disabled go through. She wrote 200 books and sold 3.5 million copies all over the world, telling what God can take a life and do something with it. Remember the four lepers in the Bible? God used them to deliver a whole nation. The point I'm making is, don't look at where you are. Look at what God can take your life and do with it. And no matter where you are today, in the mighty name of Jesus, I see God lifting you up from that place of hopelessness. Don't let your past hold you back. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. This person that I'm talking about, when they wrote the first novel, he said, what good is going to come out of somebody like you? He says, no, I'm going to keep pressing on. When you begin to take steps towards the things that God has for your life, get to that point where nothing will stand in your way, where you will let nothing stop you when you start crying out to Jesus. And that is one thing as well. The Bible says in verse 48, and he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Multitude or no multitude, Jesus, I will not see him again. This is my only opportunity. I will not let this opportunity pass me by. I will receive that which I've set out to receive from God. I refuse to remain as a beggar. I refuse to remain blind. Whatever condition you may be in that may have continued for a very long time, I don't care what it is, begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. You see, when we think of mercy, we only think of the forgiveness of sin, but healing also is a mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. The circumstances of my life may look at me and say, where is your God? People may look at me and say, where is your God? People may look at me and try to stop me, but I refuse to be stopped. Lord, have mercy on me. That's a good prayer to pray. When things get difficult during your day, cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. When that family situation seems overwhelming, say, Lord, have mercy on me. When that health situation seems impossible, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Cry out to God. Cry out for his mercy. And I can assure you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says we have a faithful and merciful high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He starts with what you go through, and as you cry out to him, oh, the same way he responded to this blind man this morning, oh, and this season, I see him responding to you. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then, you see, Jesus, when he cried out to Jesus, verse 49, he got the attention of Jesus. So Jesus stood still. I could stay a very, very long time on there, right there. Jesus is on his way out of Jericho. He's going on his journey. But Jesus stood still at the cry of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus will respond to the cry of persistence. You see, in this walk of faith, you cannot be one that is not persistent. It takes persistence to receive from God. It takes persistence to be a Christian. It takes persistence to receive from God. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And at that point, my good friend, blind Bartimaeus, has a choice. And commanded him to be called. We can preach a whole sermon on that as well. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." The same crowd that said he should keep quiet, now they've switched and they have come to his side. If you will persist in your walk of faith, very soon the people that look at you and say, "What is about God?" very soon they will switch and come to your side. He did not let the crowd stop him. "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then he said, the Bible says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Rose and came to Jesus. You see, that garment is what he was identified with. That garment, for him, if he's begging, he's sitting on it. Let's look like, for instance, if it's cold, that's what he uses to cover himself. If it is he's sleeping, that's what he sleeps on. He's identified with that garment. And so many times in life, what we go through becomes our identity. But this man recognizes that Jesus is calling him. He throws aside his garment and goes to Jesus. "I am not going to be identified with this garment of shame, of pity, of begging, of blindness. Today is the last day I am going to be identified with this garment." This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that garment on your life, that garment of shame, that garment of sorrow, that garment of hopelessness, that garment of distress, in the mighty name of Jesus, throw away that garment and take on the identity that God has for your life. Let your sorrow be traded for joy. May your mourning be turned into dancing. In the mighty name of Jesus, that which you have been identified with. This man was called blind Bartimaeus. I don't care and I don't know what man has called you, but in the mighty name of Jesus, I know somebody that can change your identity. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, I see him turning your life around. I see him turning your life around. Throw aside that garment. Throw aside that garment. Today is the last day that you'll be identified with that garment. Because this morning, an encounter with Jesus. This morning, an encounter with his word. Your life will not be the same. He will put a song in your mouth. He will put a testimony in your mouth. Oh, the enemies that you see today, may you not see them ever again. Oh, my Lord, that garment of sorrow, that garment of shame, that garment of pity, in the mighty name of Jesus, I see somebody coming out. I see somebody throwing that garment away. This is a new season for you. Today is a new day. It will wipe away your tears. Oh, my Lord and my God, he will turn your life around. He has done it for somebody else, as you make steps towards Jesus, throw aside those garments. This is the last day that you will be identified with it. He will put a song in your mouth. He will give you a testimony. You will testify and say, see what God has done in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, the past is past and gone. Leave it alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, because God says, I make all things new. I make all things beautiful. In my time, not your time. In my time, I will make all things beautiful. And so in the mighty name of Jesus, take on the garment of praise. Take on another garment today. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh my Lord and my God. This morning, I see somebody's tears being wiped away. I see somebody's life being turned around. In the mighty name of Jesus, your life will not remain the same. Today is your day. Oh, my Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen this morning.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, glory be to the name of the Lord, my Lord and my God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. 4:22, I'm reading 25. He says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your former conversation or your former way of life. The old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Put that man off. And he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, before you became born again, you used to think a certain way. But now that you have come into the kingdom of God, God wants you to think in another way. You are a new creation. You have been created in the image and in the likeness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anybody, is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. That new creation is as new as when God created Adam in the beginning. It doesn't have a past. The past is gone. So he's saying, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Let that new man be the dominant person in your life. You see, what happens is, when you become a born-again Christian, or become new, or come to God as a Christian, the person on the inside is the one that is saved. That is new. You still have the same body, and you still have the same mind. And those two will endeavor to keep the new man in prison, so to speak. So the old body will want to do the same thing that they always did. The mind will want to continue thinking the same way that it always did. But what needs to happen for you to grow up as a Christian is for the new person to dominate the body and the mind. If it doesn't happen, you'll still remain in a babyhood state of Christianity. But somebody is coming out this morning. Somebody is coming out. Now, the final one I want to deal with, we want to talk about, is spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. That is even worse. Being blind from a spiritual standpoint, that is even worse than being blind physically. What is the solution to that? For someone who is not saved, the Bible says that the god of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Whose mind the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What is the solution? John chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as receive him, he gave power to become, or the right to become, the children of God. God doesn't want anyone to remain spiritually blind. And then beyond that, the enemy wants to blind the mind of your understanding so you will not see what is in God's word, what God has made available for you in redemption, for you to be able to fulfill all that God has for you. You see, the thing is, for you to experience God's best in life, you must notice what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. He says, glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord has separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendant forever. And I will make your descendant as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. As far as your eyes can see, that's what you possess. So what do you see? Think about it. The enemy wants to blind your mind to the provision of God's word. So because you cannot have beyond what you see, that is why he blinds the mind of your understanding. What is the solution to that? This is the solution. You can pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed. In Psalm, I'm giving us vital keys here. How do I enter into wholeness? Psalm, thank you, Lord. Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. Every piece of that psalm talks about the word of God. Psalm 119, thank you, Lord. Psalm 119, verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may see. I may see. He knew why he was praying that prayer. That I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. Don't just let, Lord, don't let me just be reading the scriptures. No, I want to experience the fullness of all that you have for me. This is a good prayer to pray. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. There is another prayer in Ephesians that you can pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I pray in the name of Jesus, may every spiritual blindness be cured this morning. You will not be blind anymore. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, verse 16 says, he do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Amplified says, the eyes of your heart being flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This is a good prayer to pray also. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. whatever I need to see from a spiritual standpoint, to enter the fullness of that which you have for me, let my eyes be opened. I refuse to walk through life being blind spiritually and not experiencing all that God has for my life. Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of your law. Thank you, Lord. I pray that our spiritual eyes will be opened. Let's go back to our good friend here that we've been studying. He gets into the presence of Jesus. Verse 51. So Mark 10, 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is a very interesting question. Every time I read this, if someone is blind, can't you see? Jesus, I mean, can't you see that he's blind? Jesus has a reason for asking that question. And the question that he's asking you this morning is, what do you want me to do for you? Be specific. Be specific. What do you want? He doesn't want just to be. It's one thing to pray, to fellowship with your Father. But when you need situations to change in your life, the question is, what do you want? It's a blank check. You fill it in this morning. Think about that. What do you want me to do for you? And one thing you also have to realize, that he's in the presence of Jesus, but he's still blind. He's as blind as he was before he started his journey to Jesus. Say like he is in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus is asking you this morning as well, what do you want me to do for you? Take a moment and think about that. I like this man. He didn't beat about the bush. He said, the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." I've been blind. I've been begging. I want my circumstance to change. I want my life to be turned around, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Whose faith? His faith. The faith of Jesus? No. The faith of the apostles? No. Your faith in Jesus can make you well or can make you whole as well. No matter, I don't care where you're, what you are dealing with. No matter where you are in life, faith in Jesus can make you whole. Look at the areas of your life where you can point to that is not whole. Jesus can make it whole. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Jesus said, "Go your way." He's like, "No, I'm not. There's no way I'm going my way. I've tried my way. My way doesn't work. I'm not going my own way anymore." The Bible says he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. That's the key. Following Jesus on the way. Following Jesus on the way. Not only has he been healed, I'm not going to choose my own way. I tried it my own way before. It doesn't work. How many times have we tried it our own way and it doesn't work? He followed Jesus on the way. A commitment to a lifestyle of following Jesus on the way is what makes the difference. I'm following Jesus on the way. No matter what comes up, I'll still follow him on that road. I'm not going to choose my own way. I've chosen my way. I've gone my own way. Some people have tried drugs. Some people have tried so many things to fill that spiritual void. But today, it says he came to Jesus. Number one, make that decision. I'm going to Jesus. Number two, I will not let anything stand in my way. And when I get to Jesus and I receive my deliverance, I won't turn around and go and do whatever I like. I'm going to follow Jesus in the way. 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 I'm not going to live a self-centered life anymore. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to help others. Lord, open my eyes to see the needs of others around me. Open my spiritual eyes to see the needs of other people around me and how I can help to make a difference in their life. I'm not going to follow my own way. Cursed is the man that looks to man. I don't want to be like the heat in the desert and not see when good comes. I want to be the one that experiences the goodness of God when it comes. Following Jesus in the way. I wouldn't just receive a miracle and then just take off and do whatever I want. No, I receive a miracle so I can be a faithful follower of Jesus. So that my life can make a difference in the life of others. He was made well from that very hour. Immediately, his life was transformed. His cry for mercy caused Jesus to stop. His cry for mercy caused Jesus to say, "Bring him to me." His cry caused Jesus to ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And his earnest reply and his earnest desire was that I might receive my sight. And the word of God was spoken. Jesus spoke the word. Your faith has made you well.
We pray this message encouraged you to reach for God's very best. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.